Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's teleseminar on the parenting journey from isolation to community. My name is Anna Cole, and my co-presenter's name is Stephanie Parker. And we know your time is precious, so thank you for taking time out of your busy lives to think about parenting and for doing all the juggling that you've had to do to be able to join us for this teleseminar. We hope you get some fresh ideas that you can take away from this teleseminar on moving from isolation to community. Some ideas that you could try out with yourself and even maybe with your neighbor, with your neighbors perhaps, or with your friends, or and certainly with your children. So there are lots of parents registered for this call, so I'd like to just first talk a little bit about Hand in Hand, the organization, to allow people who are joining the call a bit late to settle in. So Hand in Hand is a non-profit organization based in Palo Alto, California. It has instructors all around the world, including myself and my co-presenter, Stephanie. We're based in England. After many thousands of hours of experience working with parents and children, and also in working in the area of early years education, Patty Whitfler founded Hand in Hand in 1989 under the name the Parents Leadership Institute. Hand in Hand has a wide variety of ways to support parents really well. So if you haven't tuned into those things already, just wanted to let you know that there are many free articles on the website which are just fantastic to read and very often give you just the idea that you need to shift something in a great direction with your child or with yourself. So along with the free articles on the website, there are the core booklets that talk about this approach in detail. So there's a foundations series of booklets that you can get on the website. There are podcasts of teleseminars like this one available for sale on the website. There's one-on-one support through consultations. There's self-guided classes from the Parent Rescue series. There's instructor-led in-person classes and instructor-led online classes, and we'll say a bit more about that at the very end of this call. There are classes for professionals, such as therapists and nurses, and there's online Yahoo discussion group that supports parents around the world every day, and a very inspiring blog with parents' success stories based on this approach. So parents like you and I write in when they've tried using examples of how they've worked, or, you know, the children and with themselves. So that's always a lovely and you can find all of these resources on the Hand in Hand website. And this the website now has a new, fresh interface, and it makes it even easier for you to find these resources. So Hand in Hand's mission is to support parents and provide them with the insights and skills they need to listen to and connect with their children in a way that allows each child to thrive and each parent to thrive. Hand in Hand's vision is a world that really supports the difficult work of parenting and fosters meaningful personal connections that move us toward a sustainable and peaceful world. So I'm just going to quickly mention the few core beliefs that support Hand in Hand's mission. These are, firstly, that children thrive when they have a warm physical and emotional bond with their parents. Secondly, parents want to be close to their children. They want to love them fully and see them thrive. And thirdly, feeling disconnected and stressed causes both children's and parents' behaviours to flare and connection to break down. So fourthly, listening, parent to parent and parent to child, is the key strategy for building connection. It conveys deep respect and creates enough safety over time to dissolve the emotional tension and disrupt caring relationships. So when parents listen well and set limits well, children instinctively offload their negative feelings and regain their sense of connection and good judgment. A good listener can help parents feel less isolated and stressed. And with genuine support for the hard work of parenting, parents can strengthen their connection with their children and repair it when stress has interfered. And fifthly, just to say that this approach to parenting has a bigger impact than merely the relationship between a parent and child. hand in hand really show and they believe that when parents connect with one another to build a support system that helps them solve problems and engage in their communities, they inspire those around them by being agents of change. And by supporting connected parenting, it's a really powerful way to reduce all kinds of hurt and harm in the lives of individuals, families and communities. So through this teleseminar and through the work of Hand in Hand, we're really encouraging you to reach out for the support that you may need for your own parenting. And just by being on the teleseminar, you've made a step in reaching out, and I really want to thank you and really acknowledge and honour the deep love that you have for your child and that your child has for you. So they're the core set of beliefs that the Hand in Hand organisation revolves around and that the Parenting by Connection approach is based on. So thank you once again for joining this call on the parenting journey from isolation to community. I'd like to introduce myself briefly. My name is Anna Cole, and I'm really pleased to do this teleseminar here today with my co-presenter, Stephanie Parker. I live in Lewes in East Sussex in England with my two children. My daughter Juno is 9, she's about to be 10 in May, and my son Max is 7, turning 8 in May as well, so they're almost exactly 2 years apart. And I first came to Hand in Hand, or Hand in Hand came to me, when Max, my youngest, was very young. He was only about 2 months old, and I was really struggling with the transition from going from 1 to 2 children, and I was attempting at the time to juggle a research project that I was involved in, and it was all very stressful, and I found myself and wanting to do things that I never ever thought that I would. One evening, you know, I really wanted to slap my daughter around the legs when she wouldn't go back to bed. It was like, please, you know, you cannot get out of bed. So I found myself aware that I was at my limit. And I met a woman in a playground, and she told me that she was part of a parent support group, and would I like to join, you know, on a Friday morning. And I'll be honest, at that point, I just couldn't schedule it into my life. And I didn't ever join that parent support group, but it gave me a really big interest, a curiosity about the potential that was out there, parents gathering to talk about parenting and to support each other. So that's a little bit about my story, how I came to Hand in Hand. And now I'd like to invite my co-presenter, Stephanie Parker, to also introduce herself. And Steph's going to introduce our key points today and say a little bit, give some examples about the first of our points. So Stephanie, over to you, and thanks.
Great. Thanks, Anna. Thanks for getting us started. And yeah, thanks. It's really great to hear your story about how you came to Hand in Hand. So hi everyone, thanks for being on the teleseminar today. So my name's Stephanie Parker and I live in Cheltenham in England in the UK. I became a Parenting by Connection instructor in July last summer, and I have one daughter and she's called Inez, and she's going to be 5 next week. And we live together with my partner, who's also Inez's dad, and he's called Jim. So I was really fortunate. I also found out about hand-in-hand parenting very early on in my daughter's life. I think she was about 5 months old. However, my kind of story before that was when Inez was born. Although I was really kind of over the moon about becoming a mum, I was really happy to become a mum. A few days after her birth, Inez began to cry for several hours every evening. And she'd often sleep the whole day, and then at 6 o'clock, around the time when my partner would come home, she'd start to cry on and off, sometimes until the early hours of the morning, so for very, very long stretches of time. And we found this very stressful, both me and my partner. And while I was pregnant, I also read, you may have heard of the work of Elisa Salter. I read her work when I was pregnant, and it also, her work has similarities to hand-in-hand parenting. And I knew that there was this theory that if babies, all their physical needs were met, like they didn't need to feed, they weren't hungry, they weren't too hot, they weren't too cold, they were, you know, they had close connection with you, that sometimes it could be useful just to hold them and listen to them while they cry, and that through that crying they could heal from things like overwhelm, just being in the world, and you know, or maybe a traumatic birth. And Hand in Hand called this stay listening. And it's one of the 6 listening tools that they offer, and you can find out more about that on their website or in the booklets that Anna mentioned. And with Inez, my labour lasted for a very long time. It lasted for 3 days. And I was trying to have a home birth. I wanted to have a home birth. And I had 2 full-on nights of full-on contractions. And then in the early hours on the Thursday, when I'd been in labour for 3 days, my contractions just stopped. I was absolutely exhausted. And I had to go into hospital because Inez was, you know, still inside me. So, you know, we went to hospital and I ended up having a spinal, and Inez ended up being pulled out by forceps. And I knew that there was probably some trauma there for her after, you know, having such a difficult entry into the world and then being pulled out. So I kind of understood why she might be crying for so many hours. And, you know, we went to see the doctor. There was nothing physically wrong with her. Maybe a little bit colicky, but apart from that, it was just very, very stressful. So although I'd read this work of Elisa's, and I decided when I was pregnant that I was just going to, you know, be able to listen, sit and hold my baby and listen to her when she cried, there was just no way I could listen to so much crying. And my partner and I would spend most of the evenings kind of passing her back and forwards to each other to hold her while she cried. And I resorted to all the things. I kept feeding her. I would walk with her. I'd rock with her. All the things I thought I wasn't going to do, I did. And actually, none of them really made any difference because she just needed to cry. So as soon as I stopped walking, she would start crying again. Or as soon as she stopped feeding, she'd start crying again. There was nothing that would really console her. And I found this really isolating, really, really isolating. Like, there I was, a new mom, none of my family lived around me. So I would be there every evening with her, with this baby that cried. And then, like, when she was 5 months old and I found, you know, I found Hand in Hand and I got myself a listening partner, which I'm going to talk about more in a few minutes, I finally had someone to listen to me. You know, every week I had calls with this listening partner to talk about parenting, to talk about how parenting was for us. And it was amazing. It was amazing to be listened to by someone who really cared about what was going on for me in my life, how it was being a parent. It was amazing, like, that, you know, over the weeks, how connected we got to each other, and, you know, how much warmth there was having this person listen. And I just wish that I'd had that when Inez was born, because I really needed it at that time, and I didn't have it. I didn't have anyone to listen to me, how hard it was. I was just kind of muddling, getting through, you know, in the best way I could. So that's kind of my journey to how I found Hand in Hand. And so I'm just going to tell you there's going to be 3 main key points to this teleseminar today. And the first one is I'm going to talk about the power of listening and listening partnerships. And then I'm going to hand you back to Anna, and she's going to talk about the widespread neglect of the work of parenting. And she's also going to let you know about another listening tool, which is called Parent Resource Groups, and how you can set up a small group in your community. And lastly, I'll come back to me, and I'll talk about how we parent together with our partner or any other significant adults that are in our child's life or children's life, and how listening partnerships can benefit these relationships when they're not going so well. And then we're going to leave, as Anna said, about 10 minutes at the end for you to ask questions. So I'm just going to briefly tell you about listening partnerships. A listening partnership is a special agreement between 2 parents to come together on a regular basis to take it in turns to listen to each other. And it could be with someone you know, like it could be a friend or an acquaintance, and you may come together in person, or it could be with someone you've never met before and you may share listening over the phone or on Skype. And most of my listening partnerships happen on Skype. And during the listening time, the parent whose turn it is gets to talk about whatever they want, and you set a timer. It could be like 15 minutes, it could be 20 minutes each, depending on what you agree on. And it's a time, you know, you can use it, you can set goals, you can explore your thoughts, or you can just generally work on, you know, how the day's been, how it's been to be with your child or your children that day, like what's gone on, how you felt, And it's also, it can be a time to say what's really going well. It can be a time to really celebrate that things are going really well in our family. That might be something that we don't maybe get often chance to do, like just to really spend 10 minutes going how wonderful your child is and how great they are at the moment. And over time, the listening partnership can really deepen and grow, and it can allow parents to show the depth of love and commitment at the center of their lives. So in order to create safety within a listening partnership, it's really important to follow just a few gentle guidelines. Firstly, everything needs to be kept confidential. And then we mustn't refer to what a person has shared during the listening time, either outside or inside of the listening time. So if I share with my partner that I'm having a really hard time with my mum right now, and then my listener saw me kind of in the street the next day, she wouldn't then ask me, like, oh, how's it going with your mum? She wouldn't refer to what I shared in that listening time because I might not want to talk about it again. And she wouldn't refer to it in her listening time either. She wouldn't say, oh, things are going really bad with my mum, just like with your mum. That's just to really create that safety that what you say in that listening time remains in that listening time unless you want to talk about it again. And the general assumption in a listening partnership is that each parent is deeply loving and intelligent by nature and that they are also the expert on their own life. So the role of listener is just to pull all of our attention onto the other person's thinking and not onto our own thinking. So it's not about giving advice or comparing our stories or making judgments about what the parent should or shouldn't do. It's really about giving our own mind and our own heart over to that other person so that they can work out for themselves. And then what happens over time is you get used to someone listening to you regularly with such love and warmth that you begin to feel really safe to really open up and to deeply release any feelings that may be stuck and stopping you from moving forward. And this can really help you to feel much, much less isolated, knowing that there's someone there that's really caring for you and listening to you. It also could be something that your child is doing that is bothering you, and you may be feeling angry or sad about their behavior. And this can often be because this hand-in-hand called this like re-stimulation. And I'm just going to give you a short example in my life of re-stimulation. So there was a time when I was really struggling to connect with my daughter. I think she was just turning 3 at the time, so it was about 2 years ago. And she was really getting into role play, and she wanted me to do role play with her, like, several times a day. And I just really didn't want to do it. Like, I really, really didn't want to do role play. And sometimes I'd kind of struggle to do it, and sometimes I just feel so cross inside that she wanted me to do this thing that I didn't want to do. And I felt like it was really coming between us, and that I wasn't enjoying my time with her as much as I had done up until then, actually. And you know, because at that time my daughter was full time at home, so we were spending like every day together. So feeling disconnected with each other can also leave me feeling lonely and isolated, which it did. So I took it to my listening partnership and I just really expressed how much I didn't want to do this role play and I didn't want to have these like mundane conversations in the role play that's how I saw it. And my listening partner asked me if I'd felt like this in the past. And I really thought about this, and I shared that my dad really, he really likes to laugh about the fact that I was so late at talking. He said that I didn't start to talk until I went to school. He likes to kind of joke about it. And once I started to share this with my listening partner, I just experienced there was just loads of feelings behind there. There was like a lot of upset and anger for me around when I learned to talk. And I can't remember the exact details. But I did access the feelings, so I really, you know, did a lot of crying and just really released a lot. And then I also started laughing because I saw Ines, like when she was like demanding me to do this role play, come on, mummy, do this role play, be this person. It reminded me maybe of how my dad used to be. Like demanding me to talk or something, and I just really didn't want to. And when I saw that, I just thought it was so funny, and I laughed a lot. And after this release, I just felt so much better. And the next morning, I just felt so much more open to Inez, and you know, really connected with her, and even did role play and enjoyed it because I just felt so much freer of all those feelings that had me not want to do it. So yeah, that was really. very useful. And that's just a brief explanation of what a partnership, listening partnership is and what it can give you. And it's really advisable if you want to start a listening partnership, then to get hold of the booklet that's available on the Hand in Hand website, because that goes much more into depth about what listening partnerships are, because this is just a brief synopsis, really. So that's me for now, and I'm going to hand you back to Anna to talk about some of the reasons why we feel isolated as parents.
Wow, thanks, Anna. Thank you, Stephanie. It's really great to be reminded that isolation, that feeling of isolation, can really, it starts at home, and connecting to those people closest to us is a really great way to begin that process of breaking that sense of isolation. So thank you for those really, really moving examples from your own life. I'm very drawn to this topic of moving from isolation to community, because it's really been a big part of my own life and my own parenting story. I'm going to say a bit more in a few minutes about my own journey out of isolation and into community. And of course, there's no one size fits all, and there's no kind of here's the answer. But there are strategies and ideas and attitudes that we can try, that we can experiment with and play with and give a go, that may really support us to move out of isolation. And so the first thing that I really want to talk about is I think there are two really related reasons why as parents we do feel so isolated. And the first one is that parenting is emotional work. It's really hard, complex work that deserves all the love and the care and attention that we give it. But none of us receive any training for this work. Unlike in our paid employment, there's no pay. There's certainly no pay rise for doing a good job. There's no promotion. There's very little recognition in wider society for what we're doing all day, and very often with young children, or even at any age, with any age child, often you're working through the night as well. So before we had children, we could take a jog, we could go and see a movie, we could catch up, with a friend casually, fairly spontaneously, if we were feeling stuck or sad or frustrated. But once you have young children, once you become a parent, you can't get away so spontaneously. You can't get away easily. And if you do, when your kids are small, you may still feel guilty or concerned for them when not with you. They can relate to feeling like an emotional pincushion. It's just you sort of start to feel that if one more little thing happens, like if they don't want that cereal for breakfast, like I'm really not going to cope with that very well, and so you really start to feel like a sort of pincushion. And you're perhaps feeling therefore you're starting to feel kind of bad about yourself, because you're thinking, well, this is just my dear, beautiful child who I love, more than anything in the world, and I'm not able to just be, remain kind of calm and adult. And so you start to feel pretty bad about yourself. And that's one of the key reasons that we isolate ourselves. We, as parents, we start to feel ashamed of our difficulties. We feel ashamed to tell anyone that we're feeling really like we're struggling, and that we're left on our own a lot of the time to work this out. And difficulties that come up for us or for our children, we don't have support for that. And so we tend to isolate ourselves initially as parents, and because of these feelings, because of the kind of emotional pincushion feeling, because of the stuff that Steph talked about, re-stimulation, raising children is going to trigger just about every issue you've ever had yourself, and issues that you might have had as a kid that no one listened to at the time are going to be brought to the fore by the different ages and stages of our children. So it's big, complex, emotional work. None of us are trained. None of us are paid. None of us are recognized. And all of us are feeling like somehow it's our fault when it's not going well. So we all tend to look inwards and blame ourselves. I mean, if you think about looking after a two-year-old, if you've looked after a two-year-old all day, you probably end up at that day feeling like you've just got nothing done. You've achieved nothing. Your brain is mush. You look like mush. You know, you've just kind of gone into this service mode where you're just picking stuff up off the floor and you're working out food and you're picking up food off the floor and you really don't feel like an intelligent human being. And that is partly to do with this sense of isolation that surrounds the work of parenting in our culture. And it's also due to that lack of respect out there for the work that you're doing, for this vital, vital work that you're doing with a toddler all day. So I would say that's one of the first reasons we feel isolated as parents, this kind of turning in and blaming ourselves. And one of the reasons we do that is because we live in societies where there is a widespread neglect of parenting. There's an institutional neglect of parenting. So what do I mean when I say there's an institutional neglect of parenting? I mean, simply, if you think about things like what happens when you do go back to the paid workforce when you've got children, Patty Whitfler, the founder of Hand in Hand, has a lovely expression where I've heard her say, you could have four goldfish at home or four children at home, but you're kind of treated in exactly the same way in the workforce. You don't get paid anymore for having more children. You know, you don't get extra leave. You don't get extra holiday leave. You don't get people, you know, I mean, certainly it takes quite a liberated workplace to actually acknowledge the reason you're leaving early is because you've got to pick up your children from school that afternoon. Like, unless you're in an environment where that's really acceptable, most people are kind of almost hiding the fact that they're trying to do this remarkable, responsible, skilled labor of parenting. So just another example that really helps me remember the institutional neglect of parenting is just the example of maternity or paternity leave. So unless you're calling in from Sweden or from a Scandinavian country that's really does quite a reasonable amount of maternity or paternity leave, you're likely to have very, very little sense of being supported in those crucial early years with your children. So there's generally what you can think of as a trivialization of parenting, a trivialization even of young children, of the work of young children. And again, I've heard Patty Whitfler say that anyone who works with children is likely to be, you know, paid pretty lowly on the hierarchy of pay. And people who are childcare workers are often paid without read meters, parking attendants. But raising children doesn't get the acknowledgement that it deserves. And therefore, as the people doing that work, as the parents involved in that work, we start to feel like the work doesn't count. So not only are we feeling this emotional sort of pincushion effect from the complexity of the work of raising children and the sort of 24/7 nature of it, the practical nature of it, the cooking, the cleaning, the et cetera, but then the emotional work of it, the being able to listen and hold the feelings of a little child who's really going through something hard for them and not get reactive. Those two things create a perfect storm for parents, and we end up feeling like it's our fault, or maybe our partner's fault, or our ex-partner's fault, or, you know, maybe the grandparents who can't support you in the way that you need. And basically we all start to feel pretty bad about ourselves a lot of the time. And, there are four key feelings that you can guarantee that other parents will share with you. And most of us at some point in time will be feeling guilty, we'll be feeling confusion, we'll be feeling isolation, and we'll be feeling exhaustion. And Hand in Hand has got some really lovely ideas about how to move away within yourself from those kind of feelings if they're really plaguing you. And obviously the big helpful thing to do is to get yourself a listening partner and start letting them know just how hard it feels. You don't have to pretend in your listening partnership. You don't have to keep a smile on your face or wallpaper anything over. You just really go to how hard it has been for you, because that clears up and relieves you to feel more able to be the parent that you choose to be when you are around your children. They're the main points that I wanted to say about why we feel isolated. I just before I tell you a little bit about my own journey with this with isolation and moving more into community, I wanted to just say a really great general direction to bring into your listening partnerships is to try this idea of just feeling thoroughly and utterly proud of yourself as a parent and utterly proud of your children. And when I was writing down notes to put together for this teleseminar, even writing down that direction like brought tears to my eyes, because so much of the time I'm thinking, wow, did I do, you know, oh gosh, you know, did I do that okay? And so just to feel thoroughly proud of myself and thoroughly proud of my children, just to allow yourself to feel that and to see what it brings up is a really great direction away to start you sort of moving out from isolation. So I'm just going to spend just the next few minutes talking about an initiative that I took based on my own support from Hand in Hand, and that was to establish my first – I ran a parent resource group, and I'd not been long in the town that I now live in. I'd been here, well, about a year, and a lot of that had just been taken up with the pragmatics of arriving and getting the kids settled in a new school, and I decided I wanted to try and bring together a few parents to listen to one another about how hard it was. And also, as Stephanie was saying, to really celebrate what did work and what was going well. So I invited one mother who I'd got to know just from the school run. She was very keen, and we joined with two other parents who she recommended, she thought that they would really need the support. And I want to tell you some of the basics about leading a parent resource group. I'm really just going to do that in point form because, as Stephanie was saying about listening partnerships, there is a fantastic booklet that you can get from the website from Hand in Hand called Leading a Parent Resource Group. There's also a PDF that you can download on running a parent study group. So if this is something that you think you would like to try, I really just want to give you the basics, which is that It's a structured meeting of parents. So a parent resource group is a structured meeting of parents who listen and talk about the things that matter to them as mothers and fathers. And as I say, you can get a step-by-step approach to organizing and leading a parent resource group from the website. But you just need to gather interested parents. And it's really helpful to think about parents that you genuinely want to get to know, like, when you're just starting out with doing something like this, it's not a good idea to sort of try and offer something that actually I think I'm going to be a bit overwhelmed. Go with parents that you think, wow, we could really be co-learners here. Like, and there's a dad who picks up his kids when his kids have been at a play date with my kids, and he's really playful. Like, he arrives and he does a bit of rough and tumble and the kids all shriek and laugh, and I love this. I love his playful approach, and I'm thinking, this is someone I'd really love to be in a resource group with, and because, you know, we would learn from one another. So think about people that you would enjoy. Who do you want to get to know? Who could you learn from? And to start your group, you really just can think small. Just think small. It's more important that you bring an attitude of respect for each person in the group. That's much more important than the size of the group. So just three or four parents getting together regularly can become a really effective resource group. And be really creative about meeting times and places. Think about, if you're in the workplace, could you get just two or three parents interested in a lunchtime meeting once a week? Or what about a late evening gathering if it's really hard to meet during the day? Or if your kids are at school and you don't have to rush off to work every day, what about just after you've dropped them at school for an hour or 90 minutes, you know, head back to someone's house who lives near the school and just give each other that the listening time that we all so need as parents. So, and a really great idea that they suggest in the Hand in Hand booklet is that you really listen carefully while parents are trying to think through their childcare arrangements, because it's going to be hard. You know, we're all juggling so much as parents. So just really come with an attitude of approval and understanding. And it's important never to blame another parent who seems unable to solve childcare or scheduling problems, because, you know, we all know how difficult it is, and we don't know what each parent themselves is trying to juggle. So and then decide how often you'll meet, hand in hand, recommend weekly. And it's great to sort of set the structure of maybe 6 weeks so that you have a space to kind of deepen with each other. But you also, people, you know, don't feel like it's kind of a never ending process unless they really want to keep it in their lives. So that's the basics. And I'd really encourage you, if you are curious or tempted or just a little bit interested, to look up the parent resource group booklet. My experience was that it was really quite hard, and I found a couple of the parents in the group, one parent a little bit overwhelming, and by the end of the group I wondered if I'd kind of really, you know, how had it gone. But the one parent who I'd initially approached and I decided after the group that we'd like to continue as listening partners. And we've had a regular listening partnership for about the last year. And this has been a really special one for me, because my introduction to Hand in Hand had been in Australia, and then I'd moved back to England. And so I had a lot of Skype, I was doing Skyping and phoning in, but this is my really first close, in-person LP, listening partner, someone who I see on the school run, and, you know, someone who's sharing the same sorts of juggle in many ways as me. And what we do is we share listening time. It's completely confidential. We don't refer to each other's stuff. But because of the respect, and that we're not offering each other advice, we're just hearing each other, we both have developed a really quite profound appreciation for the load that each of us is attempting to carry each week. And this has enabled us to, without referring to each other's stuff from the listening time, it's enabled us both to feel very positive and very on the same page about organizing a rota of with two other parents. So there's four of us parents, and we swap weekly. We look after, so I look after one person's children, her two children, till, you know, 6:30 in the evening, and give them a meal and be playful and engage and have, you know, have a nice time with four kids. And then once a week she does the same with my kids, and we do it on a rota so that the kids don't get tired of seeing each other. So, and it means that we all get a longer day at work without having to cover the childcare costs, because some of you parents may appreciate that if you're juggling children and work, often you're sort of going back to work to pay the child off the trolley. But if you can set up a rota that allows us all an evening off cooking the meal, and it's just, it's been deeply, deeply appreciated in all four of our lives, and we constantly say to each other, I'm so grateful that we're doing this, and, you know, thanks for this time. So thank you, thanks for listening to me. That's my story for now, about some ideas that I have had for myself about how to move to isolation. There's so much more to say. This is such an important topic for both Stephanie and I, but I'd like to hand back to Stephanie to talk about the idea of how we parent together with our partners. Thanks, Steph.
Wow, thanks, Anna. Thanks for sharing so many useful tips. I really love the one about being proud of ourselves as a parent and proud of our children. And it just made me want to go and acknowledge all the parents in my life for what an amazing job they're doing. So, yeah, really, thank you for sharing that. So, yeah, and parent resource groups are brilliant as well. I've led three now, actually, and out of it, it came like one of my closest friends who we see regularly, and we do the tool, you know, we use the tools, the hand in hand tools with our children. So, yeah, that's really, really, I really recommend those groups. They're really, really great. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about how, about partners and how we parent together with our partners. And what I'm going to say can also be applied to how we co-parent with our ex-partners, if that's the case for some of us, and also if there's another family member involved in looking after our children, how we partner with them, because it's all important, any kind of significant adults. So it doesn't have to just be limited to our partner. So what I'm saying, you can kind of, you know, think about it, whoever is in your child's life. Most of us really want to share our parenting journey with our partners, and it can be really hard and isolating if we feel that they're not on board with the way we parent. They could seem to be uninterested in talking about how we parent, or they may even disagree with the way we parent. And if we've already started the parenting by connection approach and seen what a difference the tools can make for our children, we may be even more enthusiastic to share this with them and have them on board. And if we're not successful, that in itself can make us feel quite isolated, and we can also get resentful towards them as well, which only makes the situation more difficult and leaves us feeling even more isolated. So I'm just going to quickly demonstrate how listening partnerships can help when partnering isn't going very well. So for me, when Innes was about 3 and a half, she went through a period of just wanting me and not her dad. And not only that, but she didn't actually want me and her dad to communicate with each other. Like every time we tried to have a conversation, she'd yell, "Stop talking, stop talking." And I found this really difficult and really isolating, because it really put a big split in our family at that time. And it just felt like continually hard work when we were all together. You know, like you'd long for the weekends when my partner was around, and they'd just be really hard. I'd be wanting the week back again when we were just, you know, doing our own thing. And I found meal times particularly excruciating, as this was a time when we all came together as a family, but it just felt there was just so much tension. We were all so tense. So also her dad was feeling really hurt by this. And I wasn't able to have any time to myself. And I tried all different kinds of things to try and, you know, have a shift. But, you know, what I was also doing is I was blaming my partner. Like I was complaining inside my head, not outwardly. I would complain to myself that it was his fault. If he was using the hand-in-hand tools, then the situation would be different. Anyway, I finally took it to my listening partnership. And my listener asked me if it reminded me of a time in the past. And I thought really hard, and I remembered there was a time when I was 15, and my sister, there was just me and my sister in my family, apart from my mum and dad. And my sister had left home, so I was just there on my own now with my mum and dad. And I remember them having this big argument and falling out. And then for 6 weeks, they didn't talk to each other, like not a word, for 6 weeks. So there was just the three of us in the house. And most of the time it was okay, but guess what? Dinner times were a nightmare, because we would sit at the dinner table, the three of us, and my mum and dad would, like, take it in turns to talk to me, but not each other. It was absolutely horrible. I would just eat my dinner as quickly as I could and then run up to my bedroom and just leave them there, like, not talking. It was absolutely horrible. And when I started to, you know, share this with my listening partner, I just, you know, all the feelings came up. I started crying. I started kind of raging. I started my listening partner said, what do you want to say to them? So I started saying all the things I wanted to say to them that weren't pleasant. And I laughed as well. I started laughing just about how tense and anxious I'd felt. So I went through this whole array of feelings, and it was so powerful. Because I hadn't realized how much emotion there was still relating to this experience. And I just felt so clear after listening partnership. And then the next morning, what happened was Innes, again, tried to push her daddy away. But having let go of all these feelings, it's like my brain just felt really clear. And I just lovingly set a limit with Innes. And I said, you know, we're not going to push daddy away. We're not going to push him away. We're a family. And we love each other, and we're not going to push anyone away. And that was all it took to shift it. And I think that maybe what was happening is sometimes our children, it's like, for me, I just see it as they bring us these opportunities, and they pick up on, like, any baggage that we have that we haven't let go of from the past, from our own childhoods. Children can be very good at bringing that to the forefront. And you know, as soon as I'd let go of that baggage, you know, those feelings that I've been carrying, you know, all it took was to set that limit, and Innes and Jim were connected again. And it was amazing. Yeah, it's like it just completely put an end to the isolation in our family, and they, you know, they started to spend time together again, and I started to get time by myself, and Innes was happy for us to be talking to each other, me and her dad again. And it can, you know, just that one listening partnership actually shifted it at that time. And we became, you know, our own community again of working and being together. So the other small piece that I want to share is about when we want our partner to use, or ex-partner, or other, you know, as a family member to start using the tools. You know, once we start using the tools, the hand-in-hand tools, and seeing the difference they make, sometimes we really want our partners to be using them as well. And one of the tricks is firstly just to really connect with our partners and take things slowly and build warmth. So, you know, it's not great to expect instant results and rush in, like, oh, these tools are amazing, you've got to use them, look, you know. Sometimes if we're a bit gung-ho like that, we can put them off. So it's really good to take it slowly. Yeah, and also just to get where our partners are coming from, like, you know, for me, because I'm the main parent, not the main parent, but the one who spends the most time with our daughter, I spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, how I'm going to help my daughter with these tools and the kind of parent I'm going to be. But for my partner, he has different concerns. So ever since I got pregnant with Innes nearly 6 years ago, as soon as I got pregnant, he started getting concerned about how he was going to make a living. So he was 49, he was almost turning 50 when our daughter was born. And up until then, he'd been an artist, he'd been a musician. So his work had been very kind of, you know, changeable and risky. And he'd never kind of had this kind of steady income. And as soon as he knew he was going to be a father, he just realized that was a concern for him. Like, how am I going to support my family? How am I going to earn a steady income so that I can support my family? And, you know, his mind just gets really full up with that concern that he doesn't really have much time left to then think about how he's going to parent as well. And the other thing that may stand in the way for our partner is their own childhood. So just like we get re-stimulated from our own childhood, which is what I shared earlier, our partners will as well. Like, none of us had the perfect childhood, so we're always going to, things are going to come up when we begin to parent. And if we haven't got any listening partnerships, like my partner doesn't have listening partnerships, we've got no one to listen and nowhere to take that, you know, we can feel quite stuck with it. So a really great way to be with our partners is just to gently model the tools so that our partner can see them in action and they can see the benefits of them when we use them. So I'm going to give you another small example. So for my partner, he often finds it difficult when our daughter is very emotional. And last year she started at a new kindergarten last September, and at the same time she began pinching us quite a lot. And I tried many things to help her with this pinching, but none of them seemed to help. And my partner kept saying that we should take her to see the osteopath because he'd really helped her in the past. And, you know, I thought, yeah, we could do, but I was certain that we could use these tools and really help her with the pinching. So, you know, what I knew is, like, the parenting by connection approach really say that when a child is pinching or being aggressive anyway, they're normally feeling quite fearful underneath this behavior. And because it started at the same time as this big kindergarten that she started in, I got that, you know, that there was some feelings of separation and fear around being in this new kindergarten, and that was why she was pinching us. So one day I was cooking lunch, and she came up in the kitchen behind me, and she started pinching me. And I just gently set the limit. I said, "I'm sorry, sweetie, you know, I'm not going to let you pinch me. I can't let you hurt mummy." And then I just really saw that actually I really needed to help her release these feelings, because I wasn't helping her release these feelings, and that's why she was continuing to do the pinching, because I wasn't helping her release her fear. So I said, I just had this instinct to go and sit on the sofa with her. So I said, "Okay, sweetie, we're just going to go and sit on the sofa for a while." And I also wanted to create a lot of safety, so I asked her father, Jim, to come over and sit with us on the sofa. So we sat on the sofa. And Ines wanted to get down, and she struggled to get away, and I just gently held her and said, you know, we're just going to sit here for a little while, because I just really had this strong feeling that she needed me to help her release her fear. And then that's what she did. For the next 15 minutes, she started to release her fear. She started struggling to get away and crying and then kind of saying, I need the toilet, I need a drink, I need something to eat. Like this kind of desperation came up with her. And again, you can read more about this because I haven't got time to go into great detail now, but you can read more about children releasing fear, especially in the booklets, but also on some of the articles on the website. But I just kept reassuring. I said, you know, me and Daddy are here and we love you and you're safe. And, you know, I definitely wasn't doing this as a punishment. I was really doing this, you know, to help her release her fear. And after about 15 minutes, we just felt that that was enough and we finished it for that day. And there was, you know, quite a shift in her behavior after that. And a few days later, she pinched me again and we did it again. So we went to the sofa again and I and, you know, we held her again in that way and reassured her again. And again, about another 15, 20 minutes maybe. And then, you know, at the end, it was like she just was a different girl. She just completely released all of that fear. She stopped pinching us. But not only that, you know, that was a minor thing. The biggest thing was that she was her happy self again. It's like we hadn't seen, it's like we felt like we'd lost our daughter over the last few weeks since she started that kindergarten, because it wasn't just the pinching, but she was, you know, just upset all the time, just generally not very happy. But she just, you know, she was just so happy and free after these sessions of sitting with her on the sofa. And not only that, but my partner Jim was just really amazed. He was really moved. He was really moved to sit there within us while she worked through that fear. You know, she was really brave. And he got really moved by that. And he felt, you know, more love and felt closer to her. And she also felt closer to him. Because, when a child has their feelings listened to in that way, it can really help them to feel safe with that person who's listening. So her world got bigger because she started to feel much safer with him, that he would, you know, that he could sit and listen to her feelings. So that's something about modeling the tools. And, you know, there's more. There's an article on the website that you can read. It's called Parenting on the Same Page, Parenting from the Same Page. And that's got that, and it's got much more in, so you can read that article on the website. So I'm just going to hand you back to Anna now. I think we've almost finished the call. Are we almost time for questions?
Yes, thank you. I really am pleased that we've been able to share today ideas about how to kind of break down isolation within ourselves and within our families, and then take that out into our neighbourhoods and our communities. So we hope that we've shared some ideas that will be useful. That, as I said, as Stephanie both on this really important, vital topic, if you press *2, we can open up the line for you, or even just a comment, or we'll be happy to hear from you. We've got just a few more minutes. We've slightly run over time, so we've just got a few minutes for questions. So please raise your hand by pressing *2 on your handset, your phone handset, or on your Skype if there is something you'd like to mention or bring in or. I can't see any electronic hands going up, so I'm just going to go on to interactive mode. So just if you do need to, if you want to say, we have got a hand up here.
Hi, this is Ellen. Thanks so much. That was really neat hearing all those ideas. One thing just at the last, when Stephanie was talking about sitting on the couch holding your daughter, my daughter has had some of the same behaviors of pinching and stuff. But I was wondering, like, I don't know, it seems like the not overpowering her. Like, there's something about I don't want to overpower her. And yet sounds like you were holding her and she was wanting to get away. And I don't know, can you just talk about that? Like,
Sure, yeah, sure. So I just also I want to say that I don't know if you're aware, you know, if you're aware of all the hand-in-hand tools, but I just wanted to, you know, because I didn't have much time to share this, but just to say that I would have given her a lot of special time and play listening first. Do you know about those tools?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's just really important to present that, you know, when you do set limits, it's really important to have the other tools, like the special time, yeah. So you're really well connected and you've done the play listening first before you set those limits. And I really, you know, I tried many different things. Like I'd use the special time, I'd use the play listening. I tried many, many different ways to help her with these fears, and I hadn't got anywhere. And then this is what, you know, this is what came to me. And what, you know, when children, you know, part of the fear is that they struggle to get away. You know, that comes with the thing. But I was, you know, very gently housing her, so I was making sure I was very open. And in a real place of, you know, that where I could really love her and hold her at that time. But it seemed to be in that particular instance, like I don't do that very often, but in that particular instance, it felt like it was the only way that really helped her with those times. And I, you know, some things that she said that I can tell that she's actually really appreciated that time as well on the sofa with us. Because she's actually brought it into her play with her dolls and she laughs about it. And I don't know, it's like she really appreciated that time when we helped her in that way.
Could I add something into that? I think there's a difference between, you know, holding a child and overpowering them with your force and showing them that you have the strength and the willingness to provide a safe container in which they can really show you how scared they got or how hard it got, knowing that it really is to do with the place you're coming from inside as you do it. And in order to do that from a place that feels very protective and safe. I mean, I'm thinking it's a little bit like if you think of a wild kitten or something that's really frightened, just gently holding it until its heart stops beating. That, you know what I mean? If you sort of have your, it's more that, it's that approach. It's not about overwhelming them, but every parent has to decide for themselves their limits around how they want to do that.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question or leave you with more, Ellen?
Yeah, no, that's helpful. And I actually like the reminder or whatever that special time and play listening has to come first, like that, to get more focused on that. And I haven't been doing as much special time with her. And so that makes complete sense that I would, you know, look at my issues of why I'm not doing that as much with her right now.
Right.
And so, and not worry about that. Perhaps the other one will come and I'll get there, but kind of reestablish that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because this had gone on for about 2 months before this time as well. It had gone on for a long time, so I'd given her a long period of a lot of special time and playlisting before this.
Yeah,
great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking the question. Thank you. Yeah.
Are there any other comments or questions before we wind up the call today? Are there any other burning questions? You're very welcome to be in touch with either of us on email. And I, just before we finish up, I can't see any more hands up, so I just want to remind you that there are a few more free teleseminars coming up, so please check out our website. We also have other free resources, which I've mentioned, the monthly newsletter and article. But also, if you want to see more deeply, we offer an instructor-led 6-week-long class called Building Emotional Understanding. And this is our signature class. It receives great reviews and it's the best way to learn about our approach. They're small classes. You'll receive personalized attention. Stephanie has one upcoming in the next couple of weeks. So I'd just like to ask Stephanie to give the details about that before we finish up.
Oh, thanks, Anna. Yes, I've got a Building Emotional Understanding course starting on Monday, the 31st of March. So I think that's 2 weeks today, isn't it? And it's at 8 p.m. starts at 8 p.m. UK time. And if you are interested in that, you can email me. Should I give my email address now, Anna?
Yeah, if you're happy to, that would be great.
Okay, yeah. So my email address is Cornish, and then it's Steph, STEPH, @hotmail.com. So that's my email address.
Great. Okay, so we'll finish up there as we've come up to time. And just to say again, thank you so much for joining us on this call. We'll wrap it up here, and we hope that you've enjoyed the teleseminar today. It's been wonderful to have you here with us. And we'll say, cheerio.